We're live.
My wine is red, my shirt is blue, my intro isn't as good as Boone's. You are with John, James Jacoby, and the Dradcast starts now.
From the bowels of WordPress Nation, it's
time it is.
All operators are busy at this time. Please hold.
For the Dradcast, here to talk WordPress news, events, and fizzy pop with community leaders, ultimately letting smarter people run the show weekly. We bring you your favorite Sand Channel alumnus, Brad Williams and Trey Armada. Sit back, folks, grab something to sip on, and get ready to press on. The Dradcast starts now.
Ready to form Voltron, activate interlocks, Dunatherms connected, infra cells up, mega thrusters are on a go. Let's do this. Big Brad, awesome. What's going on, big brother?
Oh, man, I have no idea what you're talking about, but that's awesome. I'm doing great, man. I'm on the same coast as you, West Coast. I'm in Seattle.
I love it. Yeah, you were commenting earlier, wow, it's kind of crazy how warm it is. It's still light, and I'm going, shoot, this is what happens every week when you try to get me hammered at 5 p.m., man.
It's definitely weird doing this show at 5 o'clock as opposed to 8 o'clock, which I'm used to. 8 o'clock, it's much easier to drink, I guess, at 8. 5 o'clock, I guess it's not that hard to drink, but I'm just not used to it, right?
Well, I'm going to have to wuss out on you again as we get into that in a few minutes, but I'd like to intro someone very important in my life, my fella gangster rapper, J-Trip. What's going on, brother?
Hello. At no point has any gangster rap ever left my mouth.
Are we about to have a rap-off again, or what's going
no.
on?
No. I mean, after Boone's intro and his dulcet tones... there's no way anyone can compete with that. There's no rhyme or limerick that I could possibly dream up that could compete with his mic drop of a Dradcast intro. There's no way.
I would concede, yes, that was nothing short of brilliant. Oh, man. Well, I think we're all thirsty, so I want to know what we're sipping on.
Sipping on.
I'm gonna go ahead and go first and get this out of the way. Good old Aquafina in the house tonight. Nice beverage of hydration here.
Gotta keep the beard shiny.
That's it, man. It gives me body.
Keep it hydrated. John, what do you got over there?
Nice glass of red. It's got elephants on it. I don't know, the wife picked it out, so it's delicious. That's all that really matters. Yeah,
nice. Well, I knew, you know, with John being on, I knew we had to class it up a bit, so I, too, am having a nice glass of red. I do not have elephants, but it's plastic red. It's a nice red. So, cheers, fellas.
Salut, salut.
Salut.
Cheers. Oh, man, I'm excited for this show. We got a lot to talk about. John, you're probably one of my favorite people to just listen to. It really doesn't matter what you're talking about. So I'm just going to sit back and kind of let you take over the show. let's start with the history of John. So we kind of like to do this with our hosts. Really dive in and kind of get an understanding of where you came from, because a lot of us kind of know what you do now. Well, most of us, maybe not everybody watching, and we'll get to that. But it's always fun to kind of hear the story of how you got to where you're at. And everyone's is a little bit different, has some different stories go along with it. So why don't we kind of step back and talk about how you got into just web development in general. You are a developer, so you definitely at some point in your life started web development. When did that happen?
That's a good question. Like, when we talk about, like, jobs and career paths and, like, who we were in previous lives, like, the only person I know that I can think of that most of us would know that has had probably as many different career changes or jobs as Jen Milo, right? Like, if you've ever talked with her about the number of jobs she's had, she trumps all of us by, you know, by 40 or 50, I think. But I started software development when I was, like, probably 15 years old, maybe 14 years old, in my parents' basement. I had a buddy of mine that was building like old Visual Basic, like AOL, like Proggies, right? Does anybody remember those? Like back in the day, like all the old AOL Hell and Lucifer
Hellraiser and
all of those, right? So There's a friend of mine that was into that, and you know, the whole like where's scene and all the stuff that you're not supposed to admit that you were part of when you were, you know, a teenager. And I was really fascinated just at like what he was able to build in like a short period of time. And like he let me like loan out his Visual Basic book, his Visual Basic 3, I think, at the time. And I begged and pleaded and coerced my parents into eventually buying me my own Packard Bell Pentium 100, 8 megs of RAM. Thing was screaming back in the day, right? I mean, it probably took my dad 35 years to pay the thing off from his Sears charge card, but it basically started just with Hello World on up from that Visual Basic book and just writing page by page. And there's something to be said for like reading a book and then writing out the code. I mean, we probably spend a lot of time copy and pasting stuff, but I spent a lot of time reading the book and making the code do what it was supposed to do. And eventually he found like a decompiler, and we started like decompiling other like Visual Basic programs, and you end up with soup. I mean, it's like minified JavaScript. You end up with code that you can't even read. And I spent a long time just like taking decompiled Visual Basic code and renaming variables, search replacing things until I could figure out how Visual Basic worked. I mean, I had no idea. I was learning in the only way that I knew how. You had to buy a book, I feel like, back then. The internet wasn't real helpful. AOL keywords were kind of useless because you were just hacking them anyways. And so it was just learning how other engineers solved problems with code that didn't make any sense.
Awesome. I remember Visual Basic was actually one of the first languages I got into as well, and it was such a cool language because it was exactly like it says, visual. So I can just remember like the first time I put a button on a page or on a program, and I was like, this is amazing. Like, and it didn't do anything, but just visually seeing a button in an executable program that I had in my mind, and it really, I think Visual Basic is probably one of the reasons I'm coding today, is it just got me very excited to see what I was doing, you know?
Yep, and the thing that I liked was... you know, it was 16-bit, and things were sort of just transitioning to Windows 95, and things were starting to sort of be, you know, the bevels of Windows 3.1.1 for workgroups are starting to go away, and Internet Explorer had that, like, sweet hover over, like, the toolbar where it beveled up, and it, like, reacted to the mouse, and it was revolutionary, like, back in its day, and, like, Visual Basic 3 didn't have any of that stuff, so I spent a long time, like, learning how to draw stuff into picture boxes with BitBlit and saving things and caching images and pulling in DLLs to have ActiveX components that didn't belong in Visual Basic. You're just hacking Visual Basic to make it do what I wanted it to do. And the one thing that I bet you I spent a year just dinking with endlessly was, like, it was really impossible to come up with like a WYSIWYG editor back then. It was incredibly difficult, and I bet you I spent an entire year trapping keystrokes and subclassing like everything to be able to draw text in a picture box with keystrokes and highlight the text and bold it and italic it and everything for like no good reason. It didn't really do me any good, but it was just so much
awesome.
Fun. It was so much fun to just sit there and figure it out that it blew my mind. And then
the guy in the world that wants to work in a WYSIWYG editor, like,
yeah. Well, and that's why like TinyMCE. I mean, we give it a lot of shit, but it's cool what it does, and it's the only one that like half works well. Content editable was like supposed to save the web world for us in that way, and it makes me sad that it really hasn't. But TinyMCE, for better or for worse, is like the best visual editor that we have. And so it's nice to complain about. It gives us something to complain about, but it's not bad. I mean, it's so incredibly difficult to do well that I can tell firsthand that it works incredibly well for what it is. So
you got into Visual Basic, and it sounds like that's really where you kind of whet your appetite for development. How did that evolve into working on the web?
So, good question again. So, I ended up getting a job right out of high school doing some VB and Microsoft Access stuff for, like, a small company that was here in Wisconsin. Ended up not liking the job at all, like, stayed for about a year. Eventually, eventually left and kind of swore off software development because the environment was so not what I had expected for it to be. And then went to like odd jobs and like eventually picked up a job at a Honda dealership here in Wisconsin, like putting together their online store in like the early 2000s, because that's when, sort of before Honda had an online parts store solution. That was, you know, Fast and the Furious days where, you know, online parts were sort of a big deal. And so I got back in, I missed the dot-com boom. I quit that job. So I quit my job after high school in 99. I graduated in 97, quit the Visual Basic job in 99, didn't do anything with development until 2002. And then I basically started dorking around with like PHP BB and vBulletin and other open source software. And PHP really isn't that far from something like Visual Basic. The logic and the syntax are pretty similar. I was sort of used to working with code and APIs versus the visual part of it by that point, just from getting that way with Visual Basic. And so I started with PHP BB and OS Commerce and bridging the two of them, just learning how PHP worked in the syntax, and found contributing to either project to just not be super rewarding, and hated the way that like forum topics and objects in like things for sale like in the store were sorted in OS Commerce, thinking that there had to be a better way, and then found WordPress as a result of just having posts in multiple categories. It was the taxonomy thing that pulled me in. So I didn't find WordPress until 2006 or 7, but otherwise my web development started with OS Commerce and PHP BB. And contributing to either of those projects just wasn't fun. There wasn't a payoff there. Patches took forever. And the community just wasn't as involved. I mean, passionate, but just contributing wasn't as rewarding. So when I found WordPress and submitted a patch and started talking to people about it and just kept trying to submit patches until somebody approved them because of white space or syntax or some weird little things. Eventually everyone was like, oh, well, yeah, why don't you keep contributing? This works out well. And, you know, met Mark, met Jane, met Matt. And it was just so much fun to contribute to WordPress that it was hard to let go of, right? And here we are.
So you're, here we are hosting the greatest podcast in the history of the internet. So you've come a long way since those days. But so where did you get your passion for open source? Because I know you're very passionate about open source and around the GPL, but it sounds like maybe when you first started contributing that passion wasn't there, and maybe it's just because of the feedback you're getting, the projects you're working on. Did it happen during that time of PHP BB and OS Commerce? Did it not happen until you really got into WordPress? Or where did you really kind of get in behind open source and it really kind of clicked for you?
You know, like open source is something that I wish I knew about when I was learning how to develop software. Yeah. And I think really, like, the reason why I'm passionate about it now is because I mean I come from a small town, about 4,000 people, and I think it's easy to listen to other people and what's important and what's good and what your teachers say is important, what it is you're supposed to work on, and I feel like I missed out on a lot. I feel like if I worked on HTML, or had I instead of working on Visual Basic, instead of having Visual Basic classes in school, had someone lean me more towards open and free software, that I would have been in a different place. I would have been doing it younger, sooner, would have had a better mind for that. And so that's why, like, things like Google Summer of Code and Google Coding are kind of important to me, and reaching out to like the community that I eventually moved back to. And I just think, like, there's a lot of opportunity to just pick up a tool. You pick up a hammer and start hammering. Like, you can just pick up PHP and JavaScript for free. You don't have to do anything. You just learn it. You can just, you know, and it makes me a little sad, selfishly, thinking that I wasted a lot of time not using those technologies, and that there are, like, kids out there that might not know that that's available to them, and they're being guided in a different direction.
Oh, I guarantee there are, even as they get into corporate America. I mean, it's still a closed world, if you will. And that's a challenge I think that we'll continue to see from young to old, unless you're really experimenting out there and playing with things like WordPress. Mm-hmm. What's your kind of maybe guiding light or advice to folks that may be open to that type of work and world, but maybe aren't in tune or in touch with it?
Contributing is funny. Like, it's really up to us, I think, to welcome new contributors. It's on us. And I think, like, enhancements that Andy Nason and others have made to Track in terms of being able to see Track tickets that are somebody's, like, first ticket on Track,
sure,
somebody's first patch, being able to highlight those things, they're critical to making sure that, like, newbies are welcome. It's, and, you know, where maybe it's like, I'll regret admitting this later, but, like, we're adults now, right? Like, it's up to us to make sure that, like, the youth that are coming in and trying to contribute and do nice things, that, like, we're empathetic to where they are and, like, try and understand, like, why they're, you know, where they're coming from, and make sure that we're, like, super supportive of everything that anyone that's, like, young is trying to accomplish. I think there's a lot that we could do, like, an outreach to, like, schools and teachers that are, like, trying to do good, because no one's trying to do anything bad, but to, like, stay involved in, like, your community and make sure that anyone that is trying to do good is kind of doing the best possible good they can. I know, like, for where I come from, they're still teaching Visual Basic at the high school. It's because they just don't know any better. Like, they don't have anyone around on their board or in the school board or anyone else with a strong enough voice to lean in and say...
Well, it's like, that, and it's the same old-school tenured guy that's been there for 30 years, right? It's like, exactly. Oh, that's what we know.
And you know what? I hope 30 years from now that I'm curmudgeon-y and in a good, safe position and have a good job and have tenure, I guess, and all those things. Like, that's the best case scenario, right? But hopefully we're also sort of staying fresh and up to date with our skills and staying on top of technology and evolving and changing. And
like I said, it's, you know, Visual Basic or whatever that language may be, even if it's not the most current or the best one to be teaching that particular classroom, it is still getting them into the principles of programming, understanding.
Yep.
The basics, right? And at the end of the day, a lot of the only differences between a lot of languages is syntax. So yep. I definitely understand what you're saying. I know we're in a much better position these days than we were 10
for
years
sure.
ago, probably 5 years ago as far as open source. It would be really interesting to see, like, what the normal, like, high school student that takes some kind of computer class, if they know what open source is and what it means.
Right. Or the, like,
I'm not even sure what that would be, but I bet it's way higher than it would have been 10 years ago.
I agree, and projects like WordPress are really good at setting a good example
sure.
For kids, for like including women, for sort of creating an ecosystem, for being like comforting, for like being inviting, for being welcoming, for having like a nice warm community, for like sort of partitioning work in like really healthy ways that where someone who doesn't necessarily care about writing code can design, or someone who doesn't care about Photoshop or designing things can write code. Like, we have more than enough sort of tasks and responsibilities and division of labor now where you don't need to do all of the things like you needed to do 5 or 10 years ago. Like, we all sort of started off as individuals building websites, doing the design, doing the marketing, designing the logo, writing the code, writing the plugins, installing WordPress. Like, we all started off doing all that stuff. And we just don't have to anymore, and that's kind of neat, right? Like, to be able to focus on the one thing that you're the most passionate about and to have that be okay. Like, the analogy I know I've, like, said before probably, but, like, I can't get rid of it is, you know, 150 years ago there was a time where, like, the fireman and the policeman were the same guy. Like, their towns were small and it was the one person that was putting out fires and arresting people, and it just doesn't need to be that way. And it's nice that, like, we have a large enough community and, like, high enough demand where, you know, someone can come in and not feel super overwhelmed if they just have one person to sort of lean on them and push them in a direction gently and make sure that they're getting something rewarding out of their contribution.
No, there's these technologies, mesh networks, that, like wireless networks that, you know, traffic
moves
across, and they're self-healing, right? They need to stay healthy or all of that communication is lost. And what I see in the WordPress community is that we are a self-healing community. We don't like this bad stuff penetrating in and really losing focus of that core kind of feeling of community. So whether it's not enabling youngsters to come in and really learn and become part of that community, or women or what have you, we kind of police ourselves in a way that's building health in the community in itself.
The bad eggs, the bad people, they get pushed out real quick in this community.
For sure.
Just blacklisted and
we're lucky because not a lot of tech communities are like that, dude. You know, it's
right.
That's a really neat thing to be involved with.
Yeah. So let's keep the J-Trip choo-choo train moving forward. So you've gotten into WordPress, right? You're submitting some patches, you're getting involved. And you said that was probably around, 2006, 2007-ish?
Yep.
I think we probably first met around, I want to say maybe 2009? Maybe
probably.
2010, right around there. And at that point, you're already pretty involved in WordPress, obviously, but you're also getting involved in a newer project that was coming on the scenes, which was BuddyPress.
Yep. So I ended up...
How that came to be.
Yeah, I ended up finding... So I actually found BBPress before I even found WordPress, because I was sort of committed to the idea of forums. And at that point, I mean, I hadn't really considered what having my own blog was really supposed to look like. I sort of, from being into cars and being into music, I was used to forums as an experience. So I found BBPress first. And then was sort of confused by a lack of member profiles. And so then I looked for profiles with BBPress and found BuddyPress, which Andy Peatling had literally sort of just started hosting on BuddyPress.com before Matt stepped in and helped out by hosting it on BuddyPress.org and WordPress.org. And so when I found WordPress, I found WordPress MU. I didn't find single-site WordPress. I was using WordPress MU before I was using single-site WordPress. And getting it installed, I mean, I was already sort of familiar with PHP and hosting from PHPDB and OS Commerce. So it was just getting everything set up and working. So I really didn't start contributing to WordPress until I was already sort of exposed to BuddyPress and BBPress.
You came in the back door of WordPress.
Yeah.
I don't think I've heard anyone coming in through that path.
So I went through the whole XML RPC, integrated logins, cookies, multiple dashboards, the whole non-integrated experience of it, and found it really painful and knew it was just code. We could do better. And I really found it as a personal replacement just for my own forums or for sites that I was hosting for friends. And then that turns into sort of just knowledge that you end up using to put a site together for $50, $100, $500, $1,000, $5,000. The more that you start putting stuff together and contributing it accidentally became a career that I'm super thankful and happy for, but it was really only as a result of just doing it over and over again and repeating myself and figuring out ways to make the integration better, sort of planning the project out a little bit more. And a few things like Andy Peatling, one of the founding developer for BuddyPress, choosing to take a much more concentrated role on improving WordPress.com and the WordPress.com reader and the posting experience. And BuddyPress for him was a way to learn PHP and a way to teach himself and a way to have clients and build social networks and stuff that was fascinating for him at the time. And it's one of those things that I sort of believe in BuddyPress and the idea of hosting your own social network the same way that Matt believes in WordPress and democratizing the web. I think that there are so many community sites out there that don't have an opportunity to run themselves and BuddyPress really is, I think, the best possible solution for doing something like that, built on top of a foundation of the other best possible online publishing platform that there is on the web. So the way that BuddyPress was built is the WordPress way, and it was easy to understand, it was easy to get going, and then it was easy to see some of the gaps and try and improve all of those pieces of software at the same time. So I was contributing to WordPress and BuddyPress and BBPress sort of all at the same time. And that was back when gosh, I'm trying to think. Like, Mike Adams had just sort of stopped contributing to most of BB Press. A lot of, like, .org was built off of BB Press originally. BB Press 1.0 had sort of just shipped, and the integration problems with WordPress and BB Press were just, they weren't really problems. It was just overly complicated for your average user at the time. So it was just neat to get all those pieces of software, like, talking to each other. And it took you a day to get everything set up. And so I kind of spent the past several years just improving that workflow as much as I possibly could.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think you're probably the reason, I think everyone would agree, that you're the reason BB Press still exists.
Most definitely.
You were basically the driver behind BB Press 2.0, which, anyone listening isn't familiar, was essentially a full rewrite, or a good majority of a rewrite, around how BB Press worked from being a separate platform to a plugin that would just work on any WordPress install. And you led the charge. There was definitely a time there where BB Press was dead.
Yeah.
I think everyone could agree with that. And you kind of resurrected it and took it over. Now it's doing very well. Now it's a plugin. I know some other contributors that work with you on that project, and it seems to be doing very well. So what was it sounds like, since you do have a history of forums, right?
Right.
BB Press, you talk about PHP BB. Have you just always enjoyed forums? Was there a reason you decided to really get behind that project and push it? Maybe it's because that's how you found WordPress, or is it just...
I think a little bit. I guess when I was, like, originally sort of figuring out, like, where, like, the place where a blog sort of existed in my architecture of the way that a website would normally be built, is I have a hard time imagining a website that's just powered by, like, one author. The website should be about a community or about contribution or about bringing people together. And comments are sort of a funny way to do that. As a tangent, comments are sort of funny in general, because you're allowing, like, unauthenticated users that don't have accounts on your website, like, write access to a database. It blows my mind that comments even work the way that they do, that you don't need to know who the person is to publish a comment. There's something nice about, like, having an account. Someone has some sort of commitment to your community. They're there for a reason. They're, like, committed to whatever it is that, like, your website is about. And you're able to foster that community, like, completely under your own control. Now, I think, like, the web has changed, and there are, like, bigger networks of, like, users and things to tap into, and it's bigger than just one site, so I get all that. Like, not to discount, like, integrating with third-party services like Facebook or Twitter or something else for authentication, but there's just something nice about the blog being for news and about your actual community being yours, about it being about the subject matter at hand, and about, like, the categorical sort of forum structure. Like, blogs are sort of about, they're about the author, and forums are about where the content lives. So I think of something like Reddit, everything's categorized, so you drill down into a subreddit, and that's sort of where you hang out. You get what's coming, like, you understand where content lives when it's in a specific category. And even though you can categorize things in a blog, it's so much less concrete, right? You don't really notice when you're viewing a category on a blog. But people hang out in specific categories and forums. If it's a car forum, you hang out in appearance because you don't care about performance. You hang out in performance because you don't care about how your car looks, right? Like, you know where to find your people in a community that way.
Well, and those different types of communities and social spaces actually, they dictate how people are going to interact and what exactly. You're feeling and how you want to kind of continue that conversation. One of the questions that were asked here, and it's a perfect segue here, is, look, you've adopted BuddyPress and BB Press. You've been around them and essentially revived BB Press at one point. At least I feel that you were the person that kind of drove that. I think Brad echoed that earlier. Have you spent time studying other social network software in order to help guide the decisions that kind of pushed BB Press and BuddyPress forward?
You know, for sure, but it's hard because they're so complicated now that trying to mimic the behavior of something like Google+ or even like Twitter's new profiles, which I think are, I mean, you know, they sort of people criticize that they look a lot like Facebook. But I kind of think they work really well for the type of social network that Twitter is. There's nothing wrong with them. They social networks sort of have a very particular look and feel, and Twitter was accidentally simple. So by making profiles a little bit more robust, by letting you have a little bit more control over sort of sticking tweets and things, it makes perfect sense to me that why you would want that out of a social network. So like I use a lot of them just by nature of having family on Facebook. And I think like what Facebook's engineers have been able to do, I mean, that there's it's a team of thousands of people that are like pushing the envelope with stuff like HHVM and just the way that they choose to do development and stick with PHP, I think is just really cool. And open source projects like BuddyPress could, you know, they're community driven and somewhat like of a volunteer effort for the most part. So we sort of end up picking and choosing the foundational elements and the biggest win for the shortest sort of possible release cycle that we can do that makes it as flexible as possible. So like the one thing that BuddyPress doesn't have that we talk about a lot, that one of our like recent core committers has sort of started a project on GitHub and taken the initiative to try and figure out a solution for core is attachments, is just having media. Mm. So there's a, we'll probably end up doing it for 2.1. It's already on GitHub to be able to play with and see how it works. Is just a BP attachments component, and it integrates.
For the general public, you heard it here first on Dragcasting.
Breaking news!
Wow. Yeah, so it's the attachments thing we've talked about a lot. The media thing and BuddyPress is there's like been a, like really awesome, super robust third party solutions for media that come with their own encoders and codecs and like. The BP Album, BP Media are both like they're really awesome BuddyPress plugins that they're almost bigger than BuddyPress themselves because media is such a huge thing to try and tackle.
Yeah.
And I think like we sort of have a responsibility to come up with something that is a little bit more simple that hooks more into WordPress the WordPress way and then lets people extend media and attachments out the way that they might want to just to kind of provide some more of a foundation than anything else. So yeah, definitely try and keep up with even stuff like Basecamp or Yammer or Slack, right? Like I still love IRC, but something like Slack, they're neat ways of socializing asynchronously using the internet. So I really do try to keep on top of a lot of like more modern technologies and newer things that come across. But there's always newer ones, and I think there's sort of just remixes on the same old ideas. So I don't know that we're too far off from any of the new social networks and things that crop up. But yeah, definitely try to keep on top of it.
I love it. What's next? What is in John's eyes? What is the next big thing for WordPress, for BuddyPress, for BBPress? What's going to happen here? What's going to be game changing for our community, for our beloved software titles, and our peoples? What's going to happen here, bro?
I mean, I don't know. I have ideas, but they're pretty big. I mean, for WordPress, we already know what's coming. Some of the posts are already on the Make blog, so there's some ideas around multi-site and networks and taxonomies. I mean, that's big, but I don't know that that's going to necessarily be a game changer for anyone but us that cares. I think a lot of the power in something like BuddyPress and the flexibility of it is really doing it the WordPress way. I know I've said that before, but when you activate a plugin that is as huge as BuddyPress, it provides so much functionality that WordPress doesn't come with. It needs to feel native. Like there are some things that we don't have in the like WordPress dashboard, like managing your friends, like managing the groups that you're a part of, and we're building these things slowly into it. The one thing that I would love to go back to, which maybe it'll be a while, but I love the user dashboard in WordPress. Like the unused, completely unloved, almost totally neglected user dashboard. Like when you go to wp-admin/user, there's something there. You never use it. You never have a reason to check it out because nothing hooks in there. Sure. That's exactly where BuddyPress type things should live. Like that's where you could manage your friends with a WordPress admin interface. It's where you can see your groups, where you can change your avatar and update your profile if you didn't want to do it theme side. I think there's just a lot of administrative functionality that network admins want on a BuddyPress community that we just aren't providing them. Like the secret, like you have to guess that like a social network like Twitter or Facebook, like there is like a super secret admin dashboard or like an employee can go in and start tweaking everything if they really, really wanted to. And that's what we should be providing them a little bit, like within reason. But it's there's a lot of admin integration that BuddyPress could be doing that we're just not. And there are a lot of things that happen that you have no control over, even though it's your social network. You just can't touch a lot of the things that as a community owner you should have control over. So the user dashboard is my favorite hidden, unloved place to want to start shoving stuff in BuddyPress.
The dashboard, I tell you, user dashboard needs a little bit of love. I touch all the things we should be able to do. And with that, that was awesome. Love that closing there. Let's move on to pressing topics of the week.
Word. Pressing topics of the week.
We're back on like an 80s boombox that we're carrying on our shoulders. But it's working. We're getting through the bumpers and we're getting through the segments.
That one, Brad's traveling. The audio quality goes way down.
Like, what the hell happened here? That's ridiculously awesome. And said no one ever. But one thing that has been put out in the last week is pretty exciting. And I'm stoked to see kind of where this release goes. Who's leading this next cycle for WordPress? What's going on here?
You might know her, John. Is name Helen ring a bell?
One of my esteemed 10UP colleagues.
Ayo.
Very cool.
It's so incredibly cool, right? Like it warms my heart to see
so much pressure. So much pressure, like
I really respect
anyone that's in that position because it's like obviously it's a very cool thing, but so much pressure.
Well, pressure it may be, but I tell you, she's been around the project for a long time, kicking ass, and there's no one better to handle it, dude. She's gonna crush it.
Yep, I mean it's huge for like a bunch of reasons, right? Like it's huge because it's like a non Audrey, non automatic, non Mark Jaquith sort of lead, yeah. Right? it's huge because it's like another contributing WordPress agency, right? I mean, the fact that it's it could, you know, next time it could be web dev, it could be any other agency, but the fact that it is someone that works at an agency that just happens to contribute back upstream is super huge. It's huge. It shouldn't be huge, but it is. It's awesome that it's a woman, right? Like, let's face it, it's amazing that that it's like the first time that we can say that, like, other than someone like Jane or Jan Milo, who has sort of led the project for years, sort of sure. Behind the scenes, the fact that it's sort of like the first female release lead, I think, is awesome. It shouldn't be as awesome as it is, but it is awesome. It shouldn't, meaning like it shouldn't matter. Like, but it's just so incredibly cool, and she's so good. She's just so good at feedback and leading and scope and you're right. I can't think of anybody that's contributed more, that deserves it more, that has done such an amazing job in refactoring so many things in the admin dashboard and the way that developers sort of interact with the CSS and just a lot of like tweaking the user interface to just be as awesome as it is currently. I mean, she has such an eye for all that stuff. And originally when her and I were sort of had first met and had met through the community, was her and I just tweaking the little nuances of the dashboard. I remember very distinctly her and I going through and like moving padding and margins around and moving borders and things that just were funky looking for no reason. And she had such a meticulous eye for those things that that coupled with like having worked with her at 10UP, this is going to be awesome. I have absolutely no doubt that her ability to rock 4.0.
This is very current news because it was just announced today. So we're, yeah. Obviously on top of it. But yeah, it's really exciting to see Helen lead the release for all the reasons you stated, and you're right, she's an amazing person, so it's definitely exciting. They also talked about they're working on kind of the feature set of the you know, what they're calling kind of the feature plugins, which are essentially the teams building plugins for inclusion, you know, major features being included in 4.0. A couple of these are pretty interesting. So I think the one all the devs out there are going to get super excited about is the JSON REST API plugin.
For sure.
They're targeting a 4.0 inclusion for that, which anyone that works with, has worked with XML RPC can appreciate. It works, but it's a freaking nightmare, and everyone's very tired of it. So that'll be great to see if that makes it in this Media Grid project. I don't know a whole lot about it, but just from what I've read, it looks pretty exciting. Really, anything around media. Anything else that you guys would like to see in 4.0 or anything you'll be hoping to?
Dude, if Helen's running it, we need a bunch of pretty stuff, too, because, like, she kicks ass at pretty stuff. So, like, I like pretty stuff, and we should have some more awesome design and UI, UX stuff in there.
I want to see, I want two things out of 4.0. If I had a wish list, one of them would be a better post preview. I feel like post previews are pretty, like, they open in another browser tab, and you end up bouncing between the two. I feel like that's sort of like a disjointed experience that we could probably do better. Maybe something using the customizer.
Yeah.
You know, weird little, like, just anything else that integrates post previews in a real way where you can actually preview changes live. Like, we sort of had like a Skunkworks project at one of the last 10 Up meetups that we did that uses something similar. And eventually put it on .org. It's on GitHub too. But I feel like post previews have been neglected for a pretty long time. And the customizer fills that pretty nicely. And multi-site, multi-network, and the taxonomies, right? Just the road towards taxonomy term meta. Term meta will warm my heart once it is in core. And object to object relationships, post to post type stuff. And I think like there's so many discussions that we've all probably had over beers or something at a WordCamp or talking with Andy or anyone in the core team about just the 5-year plan for trying to get a lot of that stuff in. And incrementally, we are inching towards a lot of those goals. So these things are like so on the cusp of being complete that I hope that we have a lot of time towards 4.0.
It's okay to be the tortoise because the tortoise always wins, man.
It's a great time to dive in. I mean, new release cycle, a lot of ways to contribute. If you've never contributed before, it's a great time to do it because there's just going to be a lot to work on. And every, you know, big or small, it's going to mean something for the new release. So this is a really good time to dive in, you know, into contributing with core, especially since they're still kind of figuring out what's going to be in 4.0. So,
yep, for sure.
Very, very exciting. We also had another announcement of a new project that was released, and this was actually originally announced at WordCamp San Francisco last year, which is the WordPress code references. Now, I don't know if they're calling it version 1, but the first version is live.
Yep.
So if you go to developer.wordpress.org/reference, I don't know if you need the slash reference or not, but I think it takes you there. Developer.wordpress.org. It does take you there. So it is the first version of the code reference. This is cool because it's nothing crazy fancy right now, but to actually see this in place is a very big step forward.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, the Codex has sort of been the accidental, unofficial code reference, right? Like, you go in, you shove some snippets in there, some functional references and everything, and it's been really good at that. But Peter Westwood has had a like PHP doc installs that he's been hosting for a while, but having something that is built in WordPress, is hosted on WordPress.org, that's like the official code reference.
Yeah, it's more official.
Is huge. It's absolutely huge.
And this is using like the PHP doc scraping, so it's essentially building docs off of the comments within core.
Yep.
And one of the great things about it is in the last, I believe, the last three releases, I think it started in 3.7. There's a big initiative to put comments around every single hook inside of WordPress, which they officially, I believe, completed in 3.9. So every single hook is documented. Every new hook going in will be documented. And that was kind of like this black hole of like documentation, that there was like 1,000+ hooks that weren't documented.
Right.
I mean, huge hats off to that team, because that is such a thankless job, but it allows them to launch you know, tools like this around those docs. So now you can right. search the hooks and, you know, the actions and the filters and actually get information about what it is they do, what parameters they, you know, they're going to pass, things like that. So this is an awesome first step towards, you know, just making the documentation that much better for developers. Not to say you shouldn't, you know, support your, you know, developer authors and buy books and stuff, but it's a good secondary. so it's pretty cool to see any development tool. The more development tools, the better, in my opinion. So this is pretty exciting to see this finally go live since it was announced last year.
Well, and like the WordPress code base is pretty sprawling, and like, a lot of modern projects, it's pretty easy for them to come up with. Well, it's relatively easy, I will say, for newer projects to have, you know, code references or sort of references built into their code to sort of be self-documenting. But with a code base that's as big as WordPress's and it being built on PHP and it being so visible that having everything documented in line in the code and then being able to pull that out into a useful website for everyone is there's a huge deal. There's like a lot of work that's gone into that. I think like I mean, Paul Gibbs on BuddyPress, Ryan McHugh, a few others like open source the script that they're using to scrape the actual code and to populate that content into WordPress. So it's pretty neat that, you know, just the same way that the repositories on .org, the plugin team, you use old BBPress, it's neat that developer.wordpress.org like, uses WordPress, right? Like it's just really cool.
It's. I think it also, just seeing like this kind of in practice, it is, I think it's also helping devs understand like this. There is a huge importance around documentation. I know just in our development environments, we're really kind of stressing that now way more than we did in the past. And yep. because you see tools like this, and it's like even if it's like a client site, if you could provide some level of detailed documentation just around your code just by adding like, you know, detailed comments
yep.
In doc block format, that's an amazing piece of material that you can yep. hand off to a client. That
I feel like writing
expect right. So
it's yep. kind of like writing quality documentation for your code is just good etiquette, right? Like sure. It's holding the door open for people. It is making other people's lives easier. Mm-hmm. So
help me help you.
Helping each other. We've seen a lot of this lately. We're going to actually have to start our own segment if things keep going the way they're going and progressing in the WordPress community. What I'm talking about is mergers and acquisitions. They seem to be happening more often these days. We've got a couple we're going to quickly talk about today. What's that?
Sorry, that was my bumper.
Hey, way to go, champ.
Purchased.
So, ThemeLab, a popular site dedicated to WordPress themes, been around for a while. It was recently acquired by Saeed Balki from WP Beginner. So that's one of them. The other one is one that, you know, I know there were some discussions early on. Matt wasn't a big fan, for at least from my understanding, of the WP App Store. That was just sold on Flippa, and that was announced actually yesterday. So what's your guys' take on this? I mean, we seem to see this quite often, but I think more so in the last 4 to 6 months.
I have an opinion, but I don't know that I've said it out loud before, so it's probably not going to be very...
Another Dradcast first.
You're in a safe right. place, John.
Safe place. I kind of think it's I think it's inevitable. I think the first person to do it and do it well stands to benefit quite a bit, right, from there being a safe and secure and just like having there be a good alternative to things on .org. I kind of like the idea of there being an ecosystem where engineers can put plugins in a place and make money for the code that they're writing. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it. As much as I prefer and myself personally, kind of just enjoy the idea of open sourcing and putting things in a repository and like having everyone have free, unlimited access to things. I feel like probably a minority to be able to like afford to do something like that. So, for like, I think of like people like Pippin Williamson is the person that like for whatever reason comes to mind where like. This dude makes a living selling plugins and support, right? Like, he's been around for so long and does such an amazing job and is such a good dude that like providing a space for plugin developers to sell the things that they're doing and make a living off of it I think is kind of nice, right? I think it's sort of a nice alternative to just giving code away for free and selling support contracts instead. Whether or not like it plays nicely with licensing or the community, or whether or not it's the walled garden, like those things are like they're sort of problems, right? But there's nothing wrong with a healthy alternative, I feel like. That is my opinion right now. And maybe I will feel different tomorrow. That is how I feel right now.
And, you know, things change over time, don't they? Let's go ahead and move on to this week's Bark Tricks.
Let me show you a bark trick.
That's a year old and still doesn't get old. I crack up every time I hear it. Sorry. Holy cow. Well, listen, mine's as self-serving as usual. So I'll go ahead and let you guys go first. I'm sure you have something more productive for the three listeners that we got in the chat room.
Why don't you kick it off, John? What do you got over there?
You know, my bar trick, I think, kind of sucks. and it's not really even mine, so I can't even take credit for it. And it may already be a thing out in the world that everyone else already knows of that is not cool to anyone but me. But my bar trick is really just it's just a bottle of Angry Jack with some Jack Daniels in it. That's my bar trick. As some apple cider alcohol with a shot of Jack Daniels. That's my bar trick. That's all I've got.
It's delicious. First bar trick you could do in a bar we've had.
Well, so yeah. I've got another one with cider. You throw some fireball. Now you've got an Angry Cuban, is what they call it. That's good stuff.
Cuban.
Nobody wants an Angry Cuban.
I love your bar trick.
I would have called it an Apple Jack because there's some cinnamon to it.
Yes.
But I guess an Apple Jack sort of ends up being apple cider with Jack Daniels. So.
Oh, yeah. Man, well played.
Angry Jack, I think, since it's Angry Orchard, we've got Angry Jack Daniels. Angry Jack.
Angry Jack. I'm going to have to try.
And then the actual non-bar trick is the Chrome users, like we talked about before, right?
I love it.
Dude, like multiple users in Chrome is absolutely sick. So, you know, the Chrome settings and add a new user, and now you no longer need incognito mode because you have a second user in your Chrome environment. If you haven't used it, and say, like the example that I use when I was talking to these guys is, you have one account that you want to log in as a WordPress admin, and you have another account you want to log into as a WordPress subscriber, contributor, some other different role, and you want to retain your history in the your browser history, don't use incognito mode and use multiple Chrome users instead. Also, I really like Moom, like for like MOOM's OS 10 app for window management, for like multiple monitor support. It's like Divi. I think it's like $15. But I absolutely couldn't live without it. You plug your monitor in, you plug in the cinema display in, your apps just sort of relocate themselves to where they belong on their own. I don't know, Moom is pretty sick. Gosh, I don't know, what else do I have that I use a lot? HipChat, Slack.
Yes, HipChat for the win.
Yep. Moom. Yeah, that's all I got.
That's pretty good. It'll give you a real bar trick and a non-alcoholic bar trick as well. Bradford, what do you got going on there, brother?
I have a great bar trick. So today is somebody's birthday, and they're not on this show, but they might be sitting on the couch next to me. So I think we should all wish Lisa Sabre Wilson a very happy 29th birthday today, and we're going to go celebrate on a sailboat with some scotch here in a little bit. And some friends. So happy birthday, Lisa. I think that might be your 10th appearance on the show, but she always seems to be like around me somewhere.
Happy and birthday, Lisa.
Another Wisconsinite.
Hey-o.
It's actually interesting how many people in the WordPress community are from Wisconsin and like actually very involved in the community and it's, from Wisconsin.
Boone's you know, you've got 7 months where it's freezing cold, so either
what you gotta do, right?
Like, right, you either work on a car in the garage or you work on some code in your office, right?
That's awesome.
Well, my I don't really have a bar trick, but I will be in Las Vegas this weekend. As those that have been following my journey with jiu-jitsu, I will be competing this weekend at the Las Vegas Open. So if you're in Las Vegas this weekend, watching, you know, some professional fighters and want to see some not so professional fighters on the mat, come and hang out. I'll be available Friday night to hang out as well. So it'd be nice to see folks in the area. The beard, it was funny. We just saw this in the comments. That, the rumor is that Dre Maida's beard will be leading the 4.1 release. Still unconfirmed. Well, let me clear the air here for you folks. When I set out on this jiu-jitsu journey last year, I also set a goal that I wanted to win a gold medal at a tournament. I also set a goal that I wanted to get down under 205 pounds as my original goal weight as I was progressing through my weight loss. I am now down to 202. I'm competing this weekend, and I do have the opportunity to win gold. So come this Sunday, we're going to videotape it. My young daughters are going to take clippers and shave the hell out of this beard. So come next week, we won't be seeing this monstrosity of a beard that you see on my face today.
Amazing, man. Good luck at the tournament. Congrats on the weight loss and getting healthy. I can't wait to see him work Camp Miami next week or next week and a half, whatever, because you're going to look like half the man you were.
But yeah, I'm really excited about it. We've changed that goal weight, so now I want to get down to 190. So we'll see how that goes over the coming months.
I like that Tech Volts just said in the chat, JJ Jitsu.
Oh, see, we found
that. That might just be the show title. Yeah.
That's Man. Amazing.
So coming up events, which is funny because we were talking about Wisconsin, and there is a word camp coming up in your neck of the woods here.
That soon. Is. Coming up in June. And we have really good word camps up here, so if anyone's thinking about whether or not they should come, they should totally come. We got lots of beer, good food. It's sort of a smaller, I'd say it's a smaller-ish event, so you have an opportunity to sort of hang out with a lot of really cool people in sort of intimate kind of settings. So our word camp is pretty awesome.
I will be attending this year. I'm excited to say that I will be up there with you folks, and I'm excited for the event. I'm a little sad I haven't been, so it's definitely time to get up there. I'm excited to be seeing you guys this summer. So this June is Milwaukee, WordCamp Milwaukee. We also got WordCamp Philadelphia coming up June 7th and the 8th. There is discussion about a live Dradcast there. I'm not sure if that's going to happen, but I know that the Dradcast will be on the floor. WordCamp New York was announced for August 2nd through the 3rd. So if you're looking to head over there, you make sure to check that out. But most importantly, next week is all sorts of awesomeness. You got Dradcast on the floor at WordCamp Miami. We're speaking in our own presentations, but also a roundtable with the other podcast folks that kind of want to hang out with us. So it's kind of the way it goes when you're as awesome as the Dradcast is. So in Miami,
there are other podcast folks? I had no idea.
This was just rumored to me. They put it on the schedule, but you know, we're willing to hand out T-shirts and stuff to these young folks. Oh, man. So, Jay, thanks for having thanks for being on the show. It's glad to have you on the show. Where can folks find you? What's the best way for folks to get a hold of you?
JJJ.me on Twitter, at JJJ. Shoot me an email if you'd like, JJJ@10up.com, the number 1, the number 0, up.com. Find me on the internet. We can be friends. Let's talk.
And he loves Snoop Dogg. Where can we find you there, Mr. Bradford?
You can find me at WordCamp Miami. No, well, I will be there, but on Twitter, Williams BA.
Outstanding. At Dre Maida, if you're looking for me, we got it on like Donkey Kong, folks. It's been a hell of a show, and now it's time to jump into our spinning save barrels. For the Rad and Drad, I'm the Doctor. Thanks for tuning in to episode 42 of the Dradcast with the Defender of the Universe, J Trip. We're out.
Booyah! There you have it, folks, the latest edition of the Dradcast. If you dig the show, make sure you pass it on. If you have content for the show, want to submit to be a guest host, or just want to listen to older episodes, visit the Dradcast website at dradcast.com. While you're there, make sure you click the iTunes subscribe link to catch us on iTunes. Don't forget to follow at Dradcast on Twitter, and we thank you for tuning in. Join Dre and Brad plus a new guest host next week.
Yes!
On another episode of the Dradcast. Yeah.